Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. This one is a good one. We're talking to Mia. That's right. Are you an RC car nerd or modeling nerd? This one is for you. And if you're not one of those kinds of nerds, you probably will be by the end of this episode. You're going to want to buy a Tamiya kit yourself because we're probably going to do it right after this episode. Really cool story. The company went from a sawmill in post-war Japan to creating some of the coolest and most iconic RC cars and models ever made. Let's get right into it. Most of us grew up loving toy cars. Chances are pretty good that you're familiar with the big names in small machines, Hot Wheels, Matchbox, even penny racers and Tonka trucks. But the real heads knew that the highest quality and coolest collections came from Tamiya. This Japanese hobby company has sold top-of-the-line model kits for nearly 80 years, and for a lot of car enthusiasts, became their first hands-on experience building a vehicle. Even a legendary Formula One designer has admitted that his experience modifying Tamiya kits as a kid helped him shape some of the most successful cars in F1 history. Inspired by its longtime president, Shunsaku Tamiya, Tamiya set itself apart with precisely molded, intricately detailed plastic parts that looked true to life. In fact, their motto just about says it all, first in quality around the world. But how did a small-town Japanese company become a global player in the toy world? Why did they start making model cars in the first place? And how did a few fateful choices set standards for an entire industry? All that and more on today's Pass Gas. Welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined this week by Bart Bidlingmeyer across the table from me.
Hey, good to see you again, Nolan.
Good to see you, Bart. Once again, and we have a special guest for this episode. He's rocking the Tamiya shirt right now, straight from Tamiya, Tokyo. He told me himself. Jimmy Hilton.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm really excited for this one.
I know you are.
I was the one who pitched this.
Oh, well, there you go.
To begin, yeah, I mean, models have played a huge role in my life.
Yeah.
And
you're dating one.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this one. It's really good.
I'm really glad you're here for Tamiya.
I'm stoked.
I have a confession to make. I've never actually owned a Tamiya model.
No way.
No, I was more of a Traxxas and Axial guy.
So what was your like first model, you would say?
Oh, first. Okay, so
your
like
first model.
First model.
Could be like a tank or a plane.
My grandma would buy me a bunch, or not a bunch, but she bought me a lot of like, over the years, like every Christmas, it was like a Maisto model.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
So like that, the purple Lamborghini we have on the big three set on the table in there. That's a Maisto.
That's a pretty nice one.
And I have where are they? I think I have them all in my storage unit. Okay. I have my Viper, of course, that showed up in a few
The Viper's iconic.
Yeah, the red Viper. That was one of the first ones I got. So yeah, Maisto stuff. And then like, as I got older into junior high, I wanted to, RC cars. Mm-hmm. I got like a Traxxas. I got a Traxxas Stampede.
The natural like development.
Yeah.
Bart, what was your first? Did you ever have a model?
Yeah, a little model. I think you started, I forget the brands, but the planes and the
Airfix
that would click in, you know, before you're using the glues and the, so a few of those little ones. What's the one with R?
There's
Revell is the American brand.
Yeah, right.
I've done a lot of Revell kits.
I have a couple of those like I haven't even touched them because I don't really do models. I just like have them because I saw
the box art's cool.
The box art's cool. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
I think the one I have is like a 69 Charger or something like that. I was like, it's $15. I'll just have that to have that. Yeah. Why not?
It is funny to think back on nothing was internet.
Nothing was internet.
Nothing was internet.
But like you'd have to go to a hobby shop.
Yeah.
And if you wanted a particular car, you'd I wanted to do a 65 Impala. And the guy was like, there wasn't a 65 Impala. I was like, there was, you know, I'm like 16, you know, like, and I'm kind of like, I get that we're both nerds here and you're the guy who owns the shop, but
listen to
there's a 64 and a 66. I was like, so that's
logic,
true.
Logic would.
But there's also
a 65.
Well, that wasn't different than the 64. I'm like, do you have, you know, so then you had to get the catalog.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, this car in this catalog is the one I'm looking for. Yeah. You know, call it what you will.
But it does say 65 yeah. Anyways, Chevy Impala.
But it's funny to think back that like you couldn't just go online and be like, I'd like to make this car. You had to go
to a hobby store.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what about you, dude?
My grandpa really got me into model kits. Mm-hmm. And we would build Airfix models.
Yeah.
We built a Lancaster together.
He was a big plane guy.
Yeah, he was a big plane guy. Well, this is my Australian grandpa.
Oh.
This is why they were Airfix models.
Oh.
Airfix is the British brand.
Airfix.
So we would build, he built like a Lancaster, Hurricane, a Spitfire.
All the British classics.
A few German planes, a few American planes, B-17.
Nice.
B-29.
Do you have any of those still around?
Yeah, they're still at my house in Australia.
Oh.
They're covered in dust now, but he really... Like I do credit those models and like those days building stuff with him to where I am now. Like, he kind of like taught me, all these things about building these little intricate models, and I appreciate it. And as you grow up, you realize that all the other brands. So you've got, your Airfix, you just kind of start with, and Tamiya, which is like, I mean, the quality is so cool. And growing up, going to the model shop with him, I would always see the Tamiya kits, and I was like, oh, I'd love to do one of those one day. So,
have you?
I've done a few of the car kits, so,
cool.
But I'd love to do a couple of the planes,
dude,
they have, and they have some really cool like warships too.
Right,
the warships they have like a 1700.
Yeah,
I gotta get one of these buggies, dude.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. The 300 scale ones. Yeah, they make a 172 scale. Which is like,
that's tiny.
That, well, 172 for like a
brick carrier,
or like a warship.
Oh, yeah.
That's like,
okay, so pretty big. Yeah. Damn. I pretty gotta cool. get one of these Tamiya buggies.
Yeah.
Dude.
The buggy line is crazy, which we'll learn.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get into it.
That's like their signature.
I'm more of like an RC car. I think I'm coming from the RC car kind of side of things. The models, I've never been super big into models, but I think I might.
I should have brought some of my Tamiya models today.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd have really dropped the ball on that one.
Sorry, I brought the shirt.
Yeah, all the listeners would love to hear the models.
Yeah, so you got the shirt in Tokyo.
Yeah, I went to the Tokyo Tamiya store.
That's sick.
Which is so sick. It's like a cafe, and it's like they have like all the models in stock for that year.
That's
pretty cool.
It's so cool, and I've got all this cool merch there. So I picked up this T-shirt, and I got a Porsche 993 RSR.
Oh, nice. Kit. I bring that up. Sorry, there is something I want to say. Like, you're talking about putting these models together with your grandpa and like how that got you to where you are today. And I think that's because when you build models, either models or RC cars, is like you're putting together the components. And because you are doing that, like, one at a small scale, but also like on your table, you can really look up close to how everything works together. And
you get that satisfaction.
These machines, you learn how the machines operate, especially when it comes to RC. But even with planes, you can see like the principles at work that allow the full size real things to do.
Cool thing with the Tamiya kit is it's so detailed that you can, they have the transmission, like they'll have the axles, they'll have the subframes. So you can see all that stuff.
That's super cool.
It's super cool. And then, like once you get older, you get an RC car, and then you kind of see more about how like spring rates work, and then you get a real car.
Yeah,
the changes. And I mean, whenever I do something on my real car now, I feel like I walk around it kind of like holding that model kit as a kid. Very, very same vibe. So
hell yeah, it is. So let's tell the story.
I'm excited.
Let's get into it.
Before you get into it, though, I just wanted Penny Racers were just a little pullback car, and it had like a little license plate, and then you put a penny in between the car and the license plate, so that when you put a penny in, it would wheelie.
Does a little wheel,
and just kind of
hell yeah. I think I had one.
I'm
of
sure
these
you
things.
Did.
Okay, that's what those were. That's what that little slot was for. Okay,
you didn't know what the slot was
I
for.
I didn't. And they actually made a Penny Racers game for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's sick.
For 64,
aptly called the Penny Racers game. That's cool, man. Penny Racers, dude. Okay,
but that was one of those like I hadn't thought about that in a minute.
That's awesome. I love that. Maybe for the go-kart that we built, maybe we should put
a penny giant in penny.
It. That'd be great. Gas penny.
That'd be great.
It weighs like 200 pounds, so when you do you hit the gas, it does a wheelie.
That'd be sick.
That'd be fun. All right. Tamiya founder Yoshio Tamiya was born in the Shizuoka prefecture to a family that grew and processed tea. After graduating from high school in 1923, he initially joined the family business, but it wasn't long until he became part of Japan's budding industrialization. In 1927, Yoshio opened the Tamiya Car Company, a successful transportation service that grew to include buses and heavy trucks over the next two decades. However, Tamiya's fortune suffered a blow during World War II. Yoshio himself avoided draft service due to a foot problem. Got a foot problem.
My foot aches.
My foot aches.
I can't go off. It's a
like
very
our current president. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
What was his?
Bone spurs.
Arches. Bone spurs.
Right, bone spurs. I think it's a very similar story, kind of also too, to like Mr. Honda too, because he was kind of like really into cars in that like 1920s era, mm-hmm. and kind of propelled him to make cars. And you can kind of see.
Yeah, some parallels.
He's going
there.
The same
some parallels.
Course.
In 1945, an American air raid completely destroyed Tamiya's business facilities. Looking to start over, Yoshio started a new company in 1946 called Tamiya Shoji. It was a sawmill that specialized in processing high-quality Japanese lumber for shoji screens, the traditional wooden paper doors popular in Japan. But Yoshio's country was still rebuilding from the war, both economically and culturally. By the late 1940s, he saw a new need, toys. As Japan's economy stabilized, parents were looking for new ways to teach and entertain a fresh generation. In 1947, Tamiya began making wooden model kits of battleships, tapping into the rising demand for educational toys. The Japanese public loved the quality of Tamiya's kits, which set them apart from competitors.
So he was at a sawmill, right? He was making wood, and then started making toys with
just carving
the,
it
with the wood. But just as Tamiya was hitting its stride, disaster struck again. A fire broke out in the factory in 1951, which completely destroyed their production facilities.
Fire in a wood factory?
Mm-hmm. Not a good time.
Don't put your eggs in one basket.
Instead of rebuilding the sawmill, though, Yoshio Tamiya shut down his lumber business for good in 1953 and went all in on model kits. This turned out to be a great decision for both toy fans and Tamiya's accountants. In 1955, Yoshio released a wooden tank kit, which was an instant hit. The tank success gave Tamiya momentum, and a boom in wooden ship models the next year solidified Tamiya's place as one of Japan's premier toy manufacturers. By the late 1950s, things were changing yet again. Across the Pacific, American companies were pioneering a new kind of model, injection molded plastic kits. These things were easier to assemble, more detailed, and most importantly, cheaper. It didn't take long for Japanese hobbyists to catch on. For Tamiya, though, this was an existential crisis, and the company needed to evolve fast.
Do I go to wood or I go to plastic?
Mm-hmm. Stay wood, like Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
You know? Or yeah. Do you get with the times?
And get Lego.
And become Lego, yeah. In 1958, a key figure entered the picture, Yoshio Tamiya's son, Shunsaku. Shunsaku Tamiya would go on to play a huge role in shaping the company, including Tamiya's first big step into plastic. And that moment came in May of 1960. When it released a plastic version of the Imperial Japanese Navy battleship Musashi,
yeah,
scaled down to 1/800th scale.
The Waterline series. Very cool.
There it is.
Yep. Yeah.
No, Musashi. That's such a cool looking ship.
Thing's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yamato's sister ship.
Really?
Yeah. They only made two of the Yamato class, the Yamato and the
Yamato.
Musashi.
Dang, dude. That's cool. I didn't know that, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have you here.
Yeah.
On paper, this should have been a success. Tamiya had a great reputation and years of experience making model ship kits. But there was just one problem. Around the same time, a competitor called Nichimo coincidentally released a nearly identical battleship model that cost much less. And as a result, Tamiya's first plastic model struggled to sell.
Oof. Well, it feels like you're doing something right, though.
Yeah. You know? On the same wavelength.
The, yeah. What is it? What's the saying? Is flattery?
Yes. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
There's actually a second part to the quote.
Go for it.
Never heard this part.
One second. Imitation, Flattery.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Imitation
is still a good for nothing repeating piece of shit.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay greatness.
Not going to remember that.
Pay to greatness. That's great. Oh, but I think
that's a pretty good dig.
It is. It's like devastating because at first people are like, oh yeah, imitation, you know, flattery. You're like, yeah, that's kind of like, okay. It means I'm on the right
Who
track.
Said it?
Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was hoping it
Oscar
was like.
Oscar Wilde was like, you're a hack, basically. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Wow.
I wonder what Tamiya kits he bought.
I don't know. We'll never know.
I don't think he bought any.
So Yoshio and Sunsako quickly pivoted, needing a new product for all the plastic manufacturing equipment that they had acquired. They borrowed toy car molds from another manufacturer and repackaged them under the name Baby Racers.
Ooh. Baby Racers. Whoa, I like that name.
Baby Racers.
That's cute. I wonder what the font looked like for that. The graphic design.
Very serious, yeah.
Yeah.
These were essentially Japan's version of Hot Wheels or Matchbox cars.
And while they were plastic.
They were plastic, okay. Yeah. Mm. And while they weren't hyper-accurate scale models like Tamiya had become known for, they sold like crazy, thanks in part to eye-catching, pop art-inspired packaging. The Baby Racers also set the stage for Tamiya's next model, which affected literally millions of toys that would come after it. A motorized 135th scale Panther tank. That 135th size has become a standard in the military model industry. But the scale wasn't a carefully calculated decision by Tamiya. It was actually just the smallest tank they could build while still having enough room to fit two B-size batteries for its motor. Nevertheless, the Panther became so popular that this scale would go on to forever influence the world of scale modeling. Tamiya soon doubled down on plastic model kits by formally establishing Tamiya Plastic Kogyo Company. And the business was booming. And the company wasn't stopping with tanks. They expanded into cars and ships, aircraft, and more, all with a level of detail that set them apart from the competition.
The level of detail is incredible on some of the Tamiya models because they, whereas most model kit companies at the time, they weren't putting in like the rivets they were just putting like you could see there was a rivet, but it's like a mound, but the Tamiya kits actually had like a hexagon.
Oh wow.
Like on the tank you could see like a hexagon or like they were very, very detailed.
What started as a scramble to keep up with the market had turned into something bigger. Tamiya didn't just adapt to plastic models, they became innovators.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
That innovation took an iconic step in March of 1965 when Tamiya launched its very first automotive scale model, a 1/24th scale Jaguar D-Type slot car.
Yep. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, let's take a look at this.
Got
real
a little
quick.
Dude in it.
Yeah, it does have a little
dude
in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. While most toy cars at the time were built for speed over accuracy, Tamiya once again differentiated itself with obsessive attention to detail. The D-Type featured a brass chassis, ball race bearings, and even a coil spring rear suspension. In Japan, the D-Type was a massive hit at first, but then the Japanese slot car industry suddenly ran off the tracks. The popularity of slot cars had exploded in the 1960s, but racing venues quickly developed a seedy reputation, much like arcades or pool halls at the time. As a result,
people are betting.
Probably, yeah.
But not smoke.
Smoking, drinking, betting. As a result, Japanese parents and schools began forbidding kids from attending these races. And by 1966, the slot car boom was essentially over, and Tamiya found itself in yet another dead end.
Dang.
That's so funny that
hey, my
it's the adults that ruin it for the kids.
Just guys, you know? Yeah, they're... Like, they're
hey, 20
unemployed.
Bucks on my son.
They're hanging out at these slot car bars, basically. Yep. Yeah.
That'd be kind of
scantily
sick, though.
Clad ladies walking around everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
The Tamiya girls.
Shinsako Tamiya turned his eyes to the world of motorsports. In 1965, Honda made history by winning. I can't.
I think I would love the idea too, though, that maybe it was run by kids.
Yeah.
There's just some little, they're like the ones smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking. I would love to see a movie about that because that's dude, so that funny. Is
it's called the Tamiya Boys.
Honestly, I feel like that's a really good way to bring back slot racing.
Yeah.
Make it just a bar.
Yeah. And then we could have like
put some betting.
Some betting, live stream it all. Yeah. People can bet online.
Put it on stake.
Yeah. Put it on stake. Yeah. The chat the is makers. Really racist. Yeah.
Aiden Ross is bidding on the Jaguar.
pretty much, yeah. XQC, he's watching the stream. He's going, "Wow, wow,
wow!
Cool.
I can't believe that!
Wow!" He gets paid $16 million
just
for
to
some
say
reason.
That, he walks out to the bathroom halfway through the race. Stream's just dead.
Charlie is making a video called the slot car racing situation is crazy. yeah. Anyway, sorry. Shunsaku Tamiya turned his eyes to the world of motorsports. And in 1965, Honda made history by winning its first ever Formula One race with the RA273, a sleek white and red open wheeler designed after the Japanese flag.
It ain't a pass gas if we don't mention that F1 car.
Yeah. Honda's victory was a huge moment for Japanese motorsports, and Shunsaku wanted to commemorate it with a model kit. To make sure the model was as authentic as possible, Tamiya's team needed detailed references of the actual RA273, but they were on a tight deadline.
And laser hadn't been invented yet.
No, not yet.
No laser yet.
Enter Kazuo Okabe, a 20-year-old automotive enthusiast and one of the youngest members of Tamiya's design team. Okabe was tasked with leading development of the kit. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And his research had to be done fast. And the only chance they had to study the real car was in a shipping warehouse at the Tokyo airport just before Honda packed it up and flew it to Monaco for the next Grand Prix.
They were let in like the back door for that. They're like, look, you can do this.
You got 15 minutes.
Yeah, you got 15 minutes. Sketch.
Yeah, sketch. The whole endeavor was a huge risk for Tamiya. Despite Honda's recent victory, Formula One had almost no presence in Japan. Most Japanese consumers barely knew what an F1 car was, let alone cared enough to buy a model of one. But Shunsaku took the gamble anyway. The result was the 1/12th scale Honda RA273, a model that would elevate Tamiya's reputation worldwide. Instead of focusing on Japanese sales, Tamiya aimed for Europe, where F1 was extremely popular. The precision, craftsmanship, and realism of the kit set a new standard in automotive scale modeling. It became an instant classic and continued to sell well over multiple reissues.
That's pretty cool.
1/12. That's pretty big for me.
That's a decent size.
Yeah, that's a decent size.
It's probably like, it's as wide as this laptop here. Yeah, maybe like that. Yeah, as long as our toolbox here available at multiple retailers.
Yeah, put your Tamiya kits on top of it.
Yeah,
and
you could
use
that.
It to store your glue.
That's an idea.
Yeah, and paint.
The RA273 cemented Tamiya's status as a serious model car maker. They're serious. In 1968, Tamiya became the first Japanese model manufacturer with an exhibit at the Nuremberg International Toy Fair in Germany, the world's largest toy show. Interesting city to do that toy show in. Then in 19...
He's really, really working on the rebranding.
Yeah.
They're going...
It's the toy capital of Europe, guys.
It's the only thing that's ever happened here. It's toys.
Come on over.
That is crazy.
Nothing crazy happened here before.
That's wild. Then in 1973, the company completed construction on a brand new 48,000 square foot headquarters in Shizuoka City, a massive upgrade
that's
from their earlier workshops.
They must be doing really well thanks to that car.
Tamiya was well on its way to becoming a dominant force in the hobby industry, but there is one more piece of the puzzle left to add. Remote control.
Enter Noland.
Yeah, here we go.
You're an RC freak.
I am. I know. I was actually, the other day, I wasn't feeling very well.
I wasn't in the right headspace.
I wasn't. And for a day.
I just drove my RC car off the cliff.
Right into the drink.
But there was one day where I was like, you know what might make me happier is if I went down to Pacific Coast Hobbies there in Torrance and bought a new RC car.
Yeah.
That would probably make
me
feel
better.
Did
you do that?
I didn't do that. I had some restraint.
Theo would like to see
that's my neck of the woods. You let me know next time you come down.
They're PCH, great shop. Yeah. Pacific Ghost Hobbies.
Really cool.
If you're in the LA area, go check them out.
He is awesome.
Yeah, they've helped us with a few videos here, mm-hmm. actually, but they're also a great, great team over there and great store. A lot of options. I bought my wife's cousin.
I bet they knew there was a 65 Impala.
They probably did.
Dude. Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
It wasn't until the 1970s and the invention of radio-controlled cars that Tamiya hit its peak. But Tamiya's pivot into RC wasn't exactly planned. The journey began in November of 1974 with Tamiya's first ever RC model, a 16th scale M4 Sherman tank. That must have been massive.
Yeah, that'd be a big boy.
While the tank was a solid introduction to remote controlled models, the company was still mostly focused on traditional model kits. In fact, that's what the 12th scale Porsche 934 Turbo RSR was supposed to be.
This is a cool kit.
Yeah.
Let's take a
look. I've seen that one.
That's cool. So yeah. This is the Jägermeister livery. Very cool, dude. Oh, that's nice. Dude, it's crazy though, because building models, especially if you want it to like look good,
you
gotta take so long.
You
gotta
put the time in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dedication.
Especially and with all between paint, but then on top of that, if you're gonna be using the decals.
Yes.
And then you wanna clear
And it takes a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
You got to buy like special tweezers and like airbrushes and a bunch of paintbrushes and
all the paints. The paints are expensive.
Dimitri, who I'm sure is listening. Yeah. My buddy Dimitri, who I'm sure
what
is
up,
listening.
Dimitri?
What's up? What up, D?
What up, D-Town?
he's built a lot of models. He's built like the low car. Built a couple of those. I have one of those in my office. He built a model of my Mustang, which I also have in my office. But it takes him a long time.
Yeah. I want to see if you're doing a particular car, right?
Yeah. Well, especially, with customizations and stuff too. Yeah. If you're going to get custom wheels and like other other pieces, I was going to say aspects. But if you're going to buy like custom wheels and other custom components, sometimes you have to like custom build them from
3D print.
Oh, 3D printing.
Well, that's the game changer.
Yeah.
That's true. Dimitri, you got to get your hands on a 3D printer. But I mean, you got to take pieces from like other kits, like kit bash them.
Yep.
And like,
is it called kit bashing or kit raiding? I can't remember.
I feel like
kit bashing.
I feel like I've heard the term kit bashing. Right. Yeah. I know, I heard that term from, there's this channel on YouTube called Boilai Hobby Time.
Yeah.
And he does really, really cool dioramas.
Mm-hmm.
Also, shout out to Night Shift. Have you ever watched his channel?
Yeah, I have.
He does like mostly tanks and other military vehicles.
Those are insane.
His are crazy detailed. Yeah. Shinsaku Tamiya originally envisioned this Porsche 934 as a highly detailed static model kit featuring Porsche's iconic orange Jägermeister livery. Ever the perfectionist, he even bought a brand new Porsche 911. Had it completely disassembled and meticulously measured every part of it to ensure that the body shell was an exact replica.
Awesome.
That is really cool.
That's
I can already see that on the factory floor. Like they put like
an exploded
space
car.
Out. Yeah. And they exploded out the whole thing.
So cool.
That's
so
really cool.
The result was an ultra accurate model that cost a fortune to make. Sales ended up being slow and production costs were too high. Despite its incredible detail, the Porsche kit wasn't recouping its investment. But just like his dad, Shinsaku wasn't one to give up easily, so he decided to turn it into an RC car. The challenge fell to Fumito Taki, a young Tamiya employee who gained a reputation around the office for constantly playing with RC models on his lunch break. Get back to work! You know?
There was a time here for a while when we were all playing with RC cars. I feel and everyone got really annoyed.
Yeah. Well, because we had the drift cars.
Yeah.
So they whine.
They have that turbo like vroom.
Yeah, because they have like the straight cut gears and stuff. So they whine. They're really loud, and then they're like drifting around on the concrete, which also makes a bunch of noise.
It was awesome.
It's fun though. Taki got to work on a prototype that was powered by traditional batteries, which led to a major problem. It only ran for 10 minutes before it died. As a result, Tamiya developed rechargeable NiCad battery packs,
Nickel cadmium.
Yeah.
It was a battery that was designed by Tamiya.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
That was around for a while.
Yeah.
Another innovation that became the industry standard. I remember my first RC truck. It was a New Bright, I think was the brand or something, like little monster truck. And it had NiCad batteries from Radio Shack.
And they would get really hot.
Yeah.
They would. And they expand. And you're like, oh, is that dangerous?
Yeah.
Gotta get rid of these. Just throw them in the fire.
Just throw them in the trash.
Throw them in the ocean, dude. You gotta charge the electric eels.
Charge those thing up. The RC Porsche 934 ended up being a massive success and spurred Shinsako and Tamiya to lean hard into RC cars. Over the next few years, they rolled out a series of model kits that would come to define the hobby. The Frog, released in 1983, was one of the first high-performance off-road RC buggies, beloved for its customizability and durability. In 1984, the Grasshopper arrived. I've heard that one.
That's a cool one.
An entry-level RC car that became one of the best-selling kits of all time. The next year came the Hornet, which was a sleeker, faster buggy that was a favorite among competitive RC drivers. So let's take a look at the Frog. I've seen the Frog. We've all seen the Frog. Yeah,
that's an iconic one. Such cool packaging.
That's really, I know. That's what kind of sets to me apart a little bit.
Yeah, the packaging.
These boxes are so, the Grasshopper.
And I think there's like two guys that are like behind all this artwork.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
And then the Hornet here.
Oh, Hornet's sick. Yeah, that is so cool.
The Hornet's the one. It got like ripped off a lot, like Tyco.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to order one of these kits.
I'll get the Frog. You get the Hopper.
Okay.
And then what was the other one?
The Hornet.
The Hornet. Barking at the Hornet.
Tamiya's manufacturing process continued to improve as well. Among the techniques they pioneered were slide molding, which allowed for more complex body shapes without visible seams. They also had polycap joints, which made moving parts more durable and easier to assemble. There's dedicated tool sets, many of which became popular across the industry, and water-based acrylic paints, which were far safer than traditional solvent-based paints. They made water-based paints?
They got to make everything.
Wow.
You know? They're probably also making tires. Like, that's why Lego is technically, like, the biggest tire supplier in the world.
I've heard of that.
But
from you, I think.
Yeah.
Even though they were just making small models, Tamiya had become a genuine engineering powerhouse. Much of this success came down to Shinsaku Tamiya's hands-on leadership. Among Shinsaku's responsibilities over the years, he wrote letters to museums, racing teams, and manufacturers, securing exclusive research access. He personally traveled worldwide to photograph, measure, and sketch real-life vehicles for accuracy. He even built display models himself, showing his team exactly how they should look. You know, we mentioned that he's a very big perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to all these crazy lengths.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a touch of ADHD in there.
Sure.
You know.
Never hurt no one.
Or autism, maybe, while we're diagnosing. We're all professionals.
I'm just saying.
Look.
It was where I was with my dad this weekend, and I think he's been on like a journey of like self-reflection and like self-diagnosis, maybe.
Okay.
Because he's like, you know, like, he was also a very big perfectionist when I was working at like his office or at the machine shop, like very particular way he wanted things done. And, but he also is like one of those guys that has a million different projects going on, hallmark ADHD behavior. And then he's like, I wonder if I never got to talk to my parents about whether they had behaviors like that. You know,
uh-huh.
I was just like, I never seen that side of my dad before.
Well, that's, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. I got to get my shit figured out, you know, while we're at it.
Gotta start self-diagnosing.
No, wait till you ruin a couple of kids.
Okay.
then work on it.
Yeah, you want to be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Shinsaku lived and breathed model cars. In recent years, he has said, quote, "The enjoyment of assembling something by hand is totally different from a video game. By assembling our products, people can learn how a car is constructed, why a stabilizer is needed, a differential, suspension, and the history, too." I mean, that's very true. I don't quite like the slight at video games. But, but no, he's right. Like, that's like what we're talking about earlier. It's like, I didn't know what a sway bar did until I had an RC car that had one.
Right.
Like, what if I disconnected this? And it's totally changed.
All over the place.
Yeah, it totally changed its driving dynamic and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, he's totally right. In May of 1977, Shinsaku officially became president and CEO of Tamiya Plastic Model Company, and the company moved to a new, even larger headquarters and distribution center. The next year, they opened an official RC test track next door called the Tamiya Circuit. That's sick.
That is nice.
That's super cool. Over the next several years, Shinsaku continued to push Tamiya in new directions, including a 12th scale motorcycle series, which brought their precision craftsmanship to two-wheeled machines. In July of 1982...
Those are RC motorcycles?
I think so.
Those are sick.
Yeah. I think they did both. I think they did an RC line and like a model line.
In July of 1982, Tamiya launched the Mini four-wheel drive series with the Ford Ranger 4x4, planting the seeds for the company's biggest hit of them all.
When was that?
This was 1982. Yeah. Here we go. This is cool. $582 they want for this.
Oh, okay. That's
sick. Oh, no. Yeah. I saw the on eBay.
That's cool.
That's pretty sick. That's cool.
All right. We got to get one of those. That looks like our truck a little bit.
This is the 4x4 like changed RC entirely.
Yeah.
And now it's pretty ubiquitous.
Yep. Very much so.
Some of the most fun RC cars there.
Oh, yeah. The 4x4. I got to get like one of those for myself because you have a 4x4 off-roader, right?
I have a rock crawler that I'm building that I've been chipping away out very slowly over the last couple of years. It's just, again, with like so many other things going on and so many other
models, the last thing on you.
yeah, exactly. One of Tamiya's secrets to success through the years was their packaging. From the 1960s through the 1980s, illustrator Shigeru Komatsuzaki was responsible for many of Tamiya's most famous box designs. His artwork was dynamic, detailed, and action-packed, often featuring military vehicles in dramatic battle scenes. Later, Tamiya shifted towards photography for their RC cars. They developed a new signature style featuring clean white backgrounds, sharp photos, and minimalist branding. This design language made Tamiya kits instantly recognizable on store shelves. These days, vintage Tamiya boxes are considered collectibles themselves, often commanding high prices among collectors.
The box art really does tell a story, which it's just like, I don't know, it puts you in that headspace. You're like, I want to build that model. Mm-hmm.
So we can do that.
Yeah.
In 1984, Tamiya Shoji & Company was renamed Tamiya Incorporated, with Shinsaku Tamiya as president and CEO. Soon, two previous investments paid off in big ways for the company. First, a surge in Formula One's worldwide popularity led to a boom in sales for Tamiya's F1 model kits. Second, the 1/32nd scale Mini four-wheel drive series surpassed 10 million units produced in just 2 short years. Good Lord.
That's crazy.
In fact, if Tamiya's RC cars took them global, the Mini four-wheel drive series took them galactic. It was a steady seller for years, but everything changed in the early 90s thanks to a manga and anime series called Dash Yonkuro.
Never heard of this one.
Really?
No, I
haven't. That surprises me.
It focused on a mini four-wheel drive enthusiast named Yonkuro who tackles the world of miniature car racing, and it was developed specifically to feature Tamiya models.
This okay, sounds what? Cool.
Yeah.
I gotta watch this.
So the response was wild. Dedicated mini four-wheel drive tracks popped up in department stores and toy shops across Asia, and that's a competitive scene emerged with racers customizing their cars for maximum performance.
But then came the smoking, gambling, and sex. And they had to shut them all down.
Time to start betting.
At the trend's peak during the mid-90s, Tamiya was selling over 100,000 mini four-wheel drive kits per month in Japan alone. Today, over 100 million mini four-wheel drive models have been sold worldwide.
That is nuts.
Wow. The Tokyo store where I went, they had a track for that in the back. It was pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure there's a hobby shop in Lawndale. I think they had...
Down in OC, right?
No, like pretty close to here.
Okay.
They have like a mini track set up, and it's becoming popular again in like the U.S.
Yeah. I know there's a track down in Orange County, and a bunch of my buddies have been going. And they've just been like getting really into it, and I'm like...
I think Super G might have set up a little course for these
cars. They have a different kind of... Okay. It's a different scale, but it's not drifting. Gotcha. It's like grip racing.
Okay. That's what this other shop has.
That has like... You put it in a slot kind of.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy. And then the gambling starts. Yeah. In 1988, Yoshio Tamiya passed away at the age of 83, leaving behind a company that not only transformed the modeling industry, but also inspired generations of builders, engineers, and hobbyists worldwide. Tamiya didn't stop evolving, though. Under Shinsaku Tamiya's leadership, the company has continued to thrive. Today, Tamiya offers over 3,000 high-precision static models and RC vehicles sold around the world. Its relentless focus on accuracy and innovation has kept the company at the forefront of the hobby industry. The company established a formal international presence with Tamiya America Incorporated in Los Angeles and Tamiya Europe in Germany. Tamiya also expanded its manufacturing capabilities with Tamiya Philippines, where they now produce 90% of the company's kits.
You know what I would love is if we did do a tour of the Tamiya Los Angeles and all they did was tell us how wrong we got everything.
You guys didn't know shit.
Tamiya's dedication to hands-on craftsmanship also extends beyond its kits. In 2008, the Tamiya Play Model Factory in Yokohama opened, offering a one-of-a-kind experience where visitors can build and paint their models on site. That's really cool. A second location opened in Tokyo soon after. Equipped with airbrush stations, precision tools, and expert guidance, the factory locations draw on both kids and adults who want to hone their skills in the ultimate model-building environment. Education has also become a big part of Tamiya's mission. Many Japanese schools use Tamiya kits as teaching aids for concepts like gearing, motors, and electronics. The company even developed a line called the Educational Construction Series specifically for classroom use. Big names in the automotive world also continue to cite Tamiya models as an influence. Top Gear's James May is a longtime fan who featured Tamiya on his series Toy Stories. Drift legend Keiichi Tsuchiya is also a known collector of Tamiya models. And renowned F1 engineer Adrian Newey credits Tamiya kits for helping him first understand aerodynamics.
That's so cool.
But despite all of its success, Tamiya remains a family-run company. In 2024, Shinsaku Tamiya's grandson-in-law was appointed as its new president. But even at 89 years old, Shinsaku himself still serves as chairman. When asked if he would ever give it up, his response was simple, quote, "I'm not retiring because if I don't work, I don't get paid."
Nice. And then I'm not getting any model kits.
Yeah, how else can I buy these kits?
This stuff's ruining me.
Tamiya started out as a small sawmill and end up defining an entire industry. From wooden ships to plastic tanks to RC legends, they built a reputation on precision, quality, and a fanatical attention to detail. Today, their models aren't just toys. They're tools for learning, collecting, and competition. And after nearly 80 years, Tamiya is still setting the standard.
So cool.
And that's the story of
Such
Tamiya.
A cool story. One name you left out of there was MF Doom had a Tamiya collection.
Really?
Yeah. And he did like a photo shoot, and
that's cool.
He like had all of his RC trucks out, and it's just so funny.
Dang.
He's in the mask, and he's like, "Look at my RC cars."
That's sick as hell, Jimmy. Yeah. Wow, dude, I gotta get one of these buggies. I'm on a big buggy kick.
Awesome hobby to be a part of.
I love RC cars.
Yeah,
I mean, really do.
I think I credit Tamiya and like building models to where I am today. It really has kind of made me the person I am, and I think that's cool.
There you go.
I think, like Keiichi and all those people who kind of, bought them as kids, bought them as presents, and look where they're at now.
Look at where they're at
now.
So
cool.
That was a great story. Jimmy, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, cheers.
Follow Jimmy at RussellJimmy.jp.
That's good insights today, Jim.
Follow Bart at BidsBardo on Instagram. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes if you'd like. Big thank you to our crew. We got Audrey and Edgar behind the camera and the mixing board, and our writer this week, Greg Nix, crushing
it. Nice job, Greg.
Hit that like and subscribe button if you think we deserve it.
I'm gonna go buy a Tamiya kit right now.
I think I might as well.
Yeah, let's go all build Tamiya model kits.
Let's do it.
Let's get let's have Donut get the $500 Bronco.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.